All right, this is an introduction to this class on biblical stewardship. And I'd like to begin by taking notes and asking you, what is your expectation of this class? What do you hope to learn? What do you hope to get out of this class? Because in the end, I want to review those things and make sure that we have hit all of them and that you have your questions answered. So what do you expect to get out of this class?
To rein in my grocery bill.
Okay.
So does Kelly, but I'm not even telling you that.
She just whispered in my ear not to talk.
This is going to be very interactive. So, what do you expect to get out of this class?
I want to know where all the money's going. I want to know what's coming in and what's going out, and just kind of sometimes it's a nickel and dimes around our house, just a little bit here, a little bit there. But like to see where some of that's going and rein it in a little bit and honor Christ with our money.
Okay. What else?
So I had really no thoughts about, I didn't know this class was coming. And when I heard it, I thought, oh, go there. You know, I feel like the Lord has really blessed us in our dealing with our money over the past years. But even so, I don't want to end up being like the rich young ruler. So I want to evaluate and analyze my attitudes and my heart about our finances.
Okay. Yes.
I expect to receive a different perspective on biblical stewardship that will enable me to judge my own and hopefully update it for the better.
Okay.
I'd like to be able to use the apps that we purchased to put everything into.
Don't judge me, Tom.
Just to be sure.
You're way ahead of me. I haven't gotten an app
yet.
Yeah,
not that.
We don't have apps.
Good. What else? All good things. What else?
To get a better sense of balancing being a good steward and also being wise with finances.
I think adding to that, seeing our finances through a clearly gospel lens, so that we don't become puffed up and prideful even in the good ways that we handle our money.
Okay.
I hope to find principles that will help me be a good steward in things other than money as well. My time, my energy.
Yeah, I was going to say along with Lisa, other things are besides finances that we are stewards of.
Because, yeah, it's the same principle.
It goes under mortgage. Finances are a big deal, and I'm wondering about that too, but just the other things that we are stewards of that we need to keep that in perspective.
Sure.
We evaluate stewardship of all God's provisions.
Mm-hmm.
More thankful. I tend to lose track of my Thanksgiving because I do have a mindset that thinks that the grass is always greener. Well, next year when I have more time. Well, next month when I save a little bit more money. Well, next. And I know that's not the right biblical mindset. And so training myself to think that way regularly rather than being reminded every so often so that it becomes a habit to think that way rather than waiting for somebody to upchuck me with a brick that says, hello, remember?
Okay. Anything else? All good things.
I would say a better discernment for actual needs versus desires or wants.
Okay.
Some good simplified biblical principles so that when we're
looking at the budget, you can, and we need to make a financial decision of money needs to go here or there. We can say, okay, there's this principal, this principal, this principal. How does that determine the decision?
We want a formula that will work with finance, but not with kids. So just.
Okay. Anything else?
I think maybe help in discerning my motives as to how, like, what my priorities are.
Good. Anything else?
I really want the freedom to be able to give.
Yes, sir.
Up until this point, most of my work has really been for very direct reasons, either, well, a lot of my spending has been for very direct reasons, either to pay back for school or to save up for school. And after I graduate again, there will be very much less of that. So I guess wisdom in directing my money after there's not such immediate goals and purposes to it.
Okay, anything else? All right, how many of you have either read something on biblical stewardship or attended a class or gone through material by people like Larry Burkett, Ron Blue, Dave Ramsey, or Crown Ministries? How many of you? Okay, good. All good stuff. We are going to this class here is going to focus more on the Word of God than a lot of those things do. And everything's going to be driven by the Word of God. And so this course was developed here at this church. And the whole thought was, how do we get people into God's Word? And we'll get into how the course is laid out in a minute, and who's going to be teaching and what's going to be taught, so that you have an understanding of what's going on. I am reasonably confident that all those things that you listed will be touched in one way or another. But if it's not to your satisfaction as we come to those things, please let us know and we will address them further. Additionally, if you have specific issues that you'd like to talk to me or one of the teachers, I'll introduce in just a short period of time here. If you'd like to talk to one of us in a more personal way, we can meet with you on a one-on-one basis, or if two or three of you want to get together and have one of us come, we'd be certainly willing to do that. Okay? So as we begin here, open your Bible and turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 41. And it is extremely interesting and a joy to see how God works things together. Chris and I, or the teachers, did not plan on coordinating his message today with the start of this class, but nothing could have been better than what happened today. So Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 41. You know the story. It's the widow's mite. Starting in verse 41, he says, "And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amounted to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on. What biblical principles do you see coming out of that passage? Sacrifice, trust.
Sounds similar to what David did when he was making that offering to God. He would not offer a sacrifice which cost him nothing.
That's right. So it cost her a great deal. What else?
Well, MacArthur talks about that as they're devouring widows' houses. It's really against the Pharisees and Sadducees that they would, that it's more about that, that they would even allow the woman to put in all that she had, was not actually good.
Okay. What else? How do you think that, how did she view God, do you think? Okay, so she understood who God was and she came to him humbly.
As her sole provider, she's a widow, so she had no husband, so she was her source of everything.
Okay.
He was her source of everything.
Right, so God provided everything that she had. She did not have any other means.
If you consider that we spend money on that which we deem to have value, she valued God highly.
Okay, so she put God above all, right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. What do you think her character was? What kind of woman was she, do you think? The text doesn't say specifically, but you might get a hint of it from what Mark said.
Devoted.
Okay, devoted.
Trusting.
Trusting, yep.
Faithful to God.
I'm sorry?
Faithful to God.
Faithful, mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Zealous, maybe.
What?
Zealous, maybe.
Maybe. So just not tied down by anything.
Do you think she understood her role in stewardship? What God expected of her? Yeah, right? How about, do you think that she took into consideration other factors before she actually spent or offered that money? Do you think she took it in her mind other things, like what's the implication going to be if I give my last 2 cents, as you were saying, right? So she probably gave it some thought. She didn't just come and it just wasn't an emotional response that she just stuck in all that she had. She probably considered that.
Or it may have been an emotional response.
Or it may have been some emotion, as there is in many things that we do. Sure. But it's something that she probably considered. And was she thinking about the future when she put that in there? And what, go ahead, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all of those things are biblical principles that we're going to cover in this course. Every decision that you make about how to spend your money, how to spend your time, how to spend the talents that God has given you is a spiritual one. Every decision you make has spiritual implications. Why? Because we are supposed to live for the glory of God. You go buy a pack of gum, you go to Starbucks, that's a spiritual decision. So we're going to take a look at that. How do you compare what the widow's response was compared to what you just heard about the rich young ruler? How do they contrast each other?
He gave out of his, well, I guess rich people tend to give out of their surplus. It's not it's not really a sacrifice many times.
Right. And in that case, he wasn't even willing to give up.
No, he wasn't willing to give up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
to Chris's point earlier, if you look at the rich people in this country, they tend to give out of their surplus where, you know, they might give millions of dollars away, which looks like a big deal, but, you know, they might have billions, and it's like, you know, you dropping a dime in the offering box over there. So, tremendous difference in what you see. I want to pass out an outline and go over with you here. Gentlemen, if you would help me here.
I've thought about that before. You know, when you have, well, you know, when you talk about you, people get in their mind, I have an idea in my mind. I'm not, I don't believe in a New Testament tithe necessarily, but
right.
But I do have ideas in my mind how I like to give to the church. You know, there's principles in my mind. And I do think that when I thought about this many times, what if I got a paycheck for $1 million? I've thought about that.
I'd give this to the church.
If you rolled around 10% yeah. in your mind, you'd go, $100,000. You know, and I've just thought about that. And when I think about it, just even in the role playing I do in my mind, without $1 million, I struggle.
No, he doesn't.
So I do wonder though. You know, I mean, if I were to come in and write a check to the church for my own paycheck, I mean, well, am I trusting God that He's going to cover my mortgage payment? Am I trusting God that He's going to cover my utility bill? Those things I've already committed to pay. So how do you do that? Where's the wisdom? Because in some sense, I would say the widow maybe was foolish because she probably had commitments too. And how do you, it seems really difficult to me.
Those are all things that we're going to cover during the course of the class. Absolutely.
Thanks for asking that because that was really
through
my mind too.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah. What is our responsibility for those things that we have an obligation to do? How do we balance that between? Yeah, I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could give our whole paycheck to the church and everything else would be taken care of? But
feed my family.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but that's a responsibility.
Sure, sure. So we'll talk about that. Let me share with you how the construct of this. You'll see that there are six modules. The first module is focusing on the most important thing, God above all. That's really what we're talking about. Module two is talking about character. How does your character, what effect does your character have on the way that you steward? And then understanding and fulfilling our role in stewardship. What is our individual role? What's our role as a man? What's our role as a woman? What's our role as a couple? What's our role as a single person? What is our role? Module four, things we need to consider before building a spending plan. Many, many people, in my experience, the first thing they want to know is, how do I build a spending plan? How do I build a budget? You know, some people will say, I don't make enough money to have a budget. If you feel that way, you need a budget. You're the one who does need the budget more, maybe, than the next person, but everybody does need one. So what things do we need to think through to work through that? And then how about thinking about the future? Do we just put money aside? How do we really think through what the needs of the future are going to be, whether it's children, aging parents, those kinds of things? And we're going to go into a little bit more detail on this. And then finally, building the spending plan. How do we do that? So that is actually the last thing, obviously, that we're going to cover. So we need all this information up front before we actually sit down and build a spending plan. So the course is going to be 16 weeks. This is week one. So for the next 15 weeks, Craig is going to teach for 5 weeks, then I'm going to teach for 5 weeks, and then Jay Brown is going to teach for 5 weeks. Craig will teach modules 1 and 2, I'll teach 3 and 4, and Jay will teach 5 and 6. As I said earlier, primary focus is on God's Word. So in each module, you'll see that there's a biblical study and then the application of that study in the stewardship. Now, in each of those topics that you see listed under biblical study, there's a correlation to the application. So in module 1, God's sovereignty in all things correlates to, in application, putting God first. So we're going to review in each of those biblical study areas, there's at least, in general, on average, 12 individual scriptures that relate to that specific topic. And each of us will probably approach how we teach it a little bit differently. One of the things about this class is there isn't a lesson plan per se. There are salient points that we want to make sure that we cover under each one of these things. So you'll get a little variety in how we do that. But when we're just about done, I'll pass out the scripture for next week. And this is the packet. That's one. Okay, so if you're, this is going to be, how much effort do you want to put into this? This could be pretty time consuming, and we hope that you take the time to do that. But in each module, you're going to get a scripture, and then what's the context of that scripture? Context is what? King, right? So you can just pluck a verse out of the Bible, and if you take it out of context, you could be down the road with wrong thinking. So in order to provide the best contextual narrative that we could, Chris decided that he wanted to use the Expositor Bible Commentary, Expositor's Bible Commentary. So all the context that you see in there is taken directly from that. Usually it's just for the verses that are being covered, but sometimes it goes a little bit before that or a little bit after that to kind of give you a feel for that. So why is that important? It's important because you need to understand, why was that said? Who was it said to? What was going on? So that you can understand that. So there's the scripture, then the context, and then the biblical principle. So there is a biblical principle that we wrote for each one of these, but in the material that you're going to get, it's up to you to decide what biblical principle you're pulling out of that. And then again, each teacher might approach that a little bit different. But we want you to think about this. We want you to think through this. What is the biblical principle and how does it apply to that specific topic? So this could be a lot of work, and I hope that you're in for a lot of work. I hope that this just isn't a fill in the blank for you, that it's really truly a biblical study on biblical stewardship for you, and that you can walk away knowing what the biblical principles are and the scripture that supports that biblical principle, so that when you make those decisions, you know why you're making those decisions. It's just like anything else. In your walk with Christ, if you don't understand what the Word says, you could be off coming up with wrong principles, wrong ideas. But if you understand what is said, when it's said, how it's said, to whom it's said, in what setting, in what language, and what was going on, you have a better understanding of how to apply that biblical principle in your life. And so that is the whole goal of this, is to feed you with scripture so that you understand why you're making the decisions that you make and how to make them in a better way. So let's take a look at some of the detail here in each module. So God above all, in the biblical study portion, in the scripture section, we're going to look at God's sovereignty in all things. Pretty self-explanatory. What's the importance of prayer? How does prayer fit into biblical stewardship? Why should we pray? What should we pray for? Those kinds of things. Why is it important that we obey God's word? I mean, pretty basic, but we all understand that that's needed. But sometimes, as Chris said this morning, you know what? We get sidetracked in things, and we know what the word says, but we go off and we do something different. And so how do we keep that fresh in our mind, what God said? And then serving one master. Are you serving the things that you own, or you think that you own, or are you serving God? And again, our purpose here is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And so that's the focus of those scripture. Now, how does that apply? How do you apply that in your life? First, by putting God first. Through prayer, we need to confess, repent, and pray for wisdom. I am confident that every one of us have made bad decisions when it comes to biblical stewardship, whether it be our finances, our time, or our talents. We're sinners, and so we have made bad decisions. That's something that we need to confess and repent of. And we think that it needs to be done at the very beginning of this class so that you can come with a clean heart, knowing that, God, change me. I recognize that I have made some mistakes, and I really need to change, and it's important that you change me. And then after that, how do we cultivate an obedient heart? Now that we've confessed and repented, how do we not fall back into that? How do we learn some ways to better obey God? And then you can't serve two masters, so how do we avoid coveting and idolizing money or our time or whatever it might be? So that's in module one. In module two, character matters. We're going to look at biblical ethics and integrity. Chris talked about this a little bit this morning. You know, if there are people who go into this world and start bending rules, actually cheating sometimes, actually stealing sometimes to get what they want. I'm not saying that that's any of you, but to some degree, we all may have an ethics problem on occasion. We kind of stretch what we think might be okay, and we walk right up to that line, and sometimes we let our big toe get over it, and so we can't let that happen. How do we learn to be content? Contentment is a big thing. Again, Chris quoted Philippians 4. It's kind of my life verse. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering needs. I can do all things through Christ. We need to be content. And of course, in your contentment, you learn to be humble. So we're going to talk about humility. And who doesn't need biblical counseling, whether it's from your spouse, husbands to wife, wife to husband, brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, whether it's your children that you're counseling, we need to ask for help. So many times I have provided financial counseling to Christians, and they tell me, oh, this just started, us having problems. But when you look at it, it just started where they can't handle it anymore. They can't deal it anymore. But it really started 5 years ago. So biblical counseling early to get us on the right track. So that scriptural study then leads us to the application. How do we apply biblical ethics and integrity? Not the world's ethics, Christ's ethics. Again, learning to be content. And how do you foster a humble attitude? To some degree, we are all prideful people, and we let our pride get in the way. And pride drives decisions. Pride drives bad decisions. So how do we manage that so that we don't do that? And then, again, seeking and accepting biblical counsel. It can be embarrassing because we are prideful that, hey, I'm struggling to feed my family. I'm struggling to pay the mortgage. I'm struggling with the amount of money that I make at work. It just doesn't add up. But you might be surprised what being faithful will do. I know that when Marie and I got married, we did not have two nickels to rub together. A big week out was we homeschooled our two younger children. The big week, I think it was a monthly event maybe. She would take the two kids to Burger King. She bought one Whopper, cut it in half, gave my son the half. She cut the other half in quarter, and a quarter was for her and a quarter for my daughter. That was a big deal because that's all that we had. And so we need to be humble and to figure out how to manage that. So character matters in stewardship, and all those things will accumulate into how you deal with your finances and your time and your talents. Module 3, understanding and fulfilling our role in biblical stewardship. Again, the scriptural part is we got to recognize that God is the provider of all things. Every single thing that you have, the clothes you wear, the time that you have, the air that you breathe, every single thing is provided by God. And what is the definition of a steward? What's the definition of a steward?
Someone who takes care of something that's not their own.
Yep. Right? You're managing something that is not yours, that has been given, entrusted to you to take care of. That's what we are. And everything that we have has been entrusted to us for our care, according to God's plan. How about husbands and wives? It has been a rare occasion when I've seen husband and wives at first completely agree on how to manage money. One is usually a spender, one is usually a saver. That was our case. Marie was the saver, I was the spender. I wasn't willing to go into debt, but I was willing to spend all that we had. And so when we started this and we put together a budget and I said, oh, I want that. Okay, what are you willing to give up over here? Nothing. Well, then we're not getting that, right? So, husbands and wives. So for us, the thing that we agreed on is we don't spend a dime unless we both are like-minded about how to spend it. To this day, if she wanted to buy a $5 item on Amazon, she would say, hey, I'd like to buy this, for the garden or whatever. Is it a problem? No, it's not a problem, but that's the way that we communicate. So it's important that you work together as husbands and wives. All these things, in every spending decision you make, you are a witness for Christ. And don't think that the world doesn't see you. People at work see how you spend your money, and they may not be all Christians. People in your neighborhood may see how you spend all your money. You got really nice cars, really nice toys, and you work at McDonald's full time. How's that work? So we need to be a witness for Christ. And then something that I'm going to encourage you as parents, that, again, in my experience, this has been the weakest thing. Your responsibility is to train your children in financial things. Many parents don't do that, don't know how to do that, and then when they get married, they expect them to know the world and not make bad decisions. Well, you haven't trained them in God's Word on how to do that, so we're going to talk about that. So again, in application, it all belongs to Him. We need to learn how to be a biblical steward. Establishing like-mindedness in the marriage, critical if you're going to be successful in being a good steward. Being a godly witness and then training our kids. So again, there will be scripture to support that, and then the application that will talk through how to do some of those things. In Module 4, we're going to talk about things we need to consider before building a spending plan. Again, scripturally, what are first fruits? How do they apply to biblical stewardship? We were talking earlier about giving out of abundance. How do we self-sacrifice? What about benevolence? What does Scripture say about being benevolent and taking care of those who have needs? How do we serve one another through our stewardship of time, talents, and money? What about debt and usury? I read here recently that there's a big push in the Congress to push for a cap of 15% in credit card, because now the top is like 25 or 29% or whatever it is. When you're struggling financially, the last thing you can afford is to pay 30% in interest. And so how do you avoid that? And then taxes. So the application, again, we're going to talk about a biblical model for giving. What does that look like? We'll talk probably a little bit about tithing and in the Old Testament and 2 Corinthians 9 and New Testament and what the correlation is there. How do we establish a sacrificial heart where we start looking to others rather than ourselves and support the needy and serve one another through our finances? We'll talk about debt and interest and what is APR that you see at the end of your loans. What does all that mean and how do they calculate that? And, you know, if you have a 15% interest but the APR is really 19%, most people don't even look at that. They'll look at the 15, but they don't understand the implications of what the APR is and how all that works. So we'll talk about that and what effect does inflation have on our money, and then our duty as Christians to the government to pay taxes. Something none of us enjoy, but it is our duty. In Module 5, we're going to talk about thinking about the future. We talked about, you know, did the widow consider the future? Did she have enough stored up for the future? How much is enough? How do we know how to balance that? And I'm glad Jay's teaching that. So, preparing for the unexpected and caring for family. So how do you build wealth in a reasonable way? How do you use insurance as a hedge? And then preparing to support dependent parents and special needs children. My son has three sons, and our youngest grandson is autistic, and we don't know where he's going to come out on the spectrum yet, but he's struggling right now. Probably, you know, we're hoping that he can be independent, but he may not be. And so how do they prepare for that kind of thing? Something that we don't think about, until those situations arise, but maybe there's even more severe things that come up with your children or your parents or whatever that you need to think about the implications from a stewardship perspective on how that's going to affect your life. And then in Module 6, we're going to finally get to the point where most people want to go from step one, and that is biblically driven spending plans. How do you expend your resources, whether it's time, talents, or money? How do you, you know, we'll look at the scripture that talks about that and the difference. Again, most of us, when we think of biblical stewardship, we automatically go to money, but time and spiritual gifts are certainly a factor. Are you using your spiritual gift for the glory of God? Are we as a church being edified by your spiritual gift? You got one when you were saved. How are you using it? Is it with children? Is it with adults? Is it with the college kids? Where are you using it? Is it with one another? Is it coming alongside another woman and teaching her, or having a one-on-one accountability relationship with another man that you can help one another? How are you using your spiritual gift? And then how do we avoid errors? And of course, this isn't foolproof. There's all kinds of errors. And so we'll try to cover some of those. But I think by this time, you should have a good biblical basis of what your thinking needs to be. And then Proverbs addressing money and the principles derived from them. So at the end of in that point, we have a spreadsheet that is in Excel that we'll make available to all of you. We took it from a free website that the guy did a pretty good job. I manipulated some of the things that were in the original one, but you kind of fill in the blanks and it does calculations for you. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, we can make that available to you, show you a little bit how to use it. And then some of the common mistakes, we'll talk about some of the common mistakes that people make in stewardship and ways to avoid them. Again, being humble, going back to the Word of God is the bottom line and all of that. So that's kind of an overview of what is going to be covered in this course. And I think for those of you who did have an expectation of this course, I hope that you saw something in here that might cover your area. If you didn't, please let me know, and we will certainly try to address it in one of these areas if you're not sure. Okay. So, questions, comments, concerns?
We're open discussing health insurance.
Probably an insurance as a hedge, which would be in Module 5. It could be life insurance or health insurance. Yeah, so we'll make sure that we cover that. Good question. Yes?
Is there any way you can email those packets?
Sure. I can. Yeah, if at the end, if you come up and give me your email address, I will email you a copy of it.
So I hope when you when insurance is hedged, you know, you even think about auto insurance.
Sure.
Right? How do you determine, you know, how much deductible, how much liability? Those are challenging things sometimes.
Yeah, they are indeed. We just went through a situation about that very thing. Yes. Go ahead. Oh, okay. Other questions, concerns, thoughts? Is this more comprehensive than most of the courses that you've gone through? I'm hoping that we touched on a lot of the key issues. If there's something that you think is missing from this, please let me know. This is the first time that we're teaching this course here, and so there's going to be much to learn on our part as well as deliverers of this course, and so we welcome your thoughts. Hey, you know, if you would brought this up, it would have been really helpful, and we'll try to incorporate those things as we continue to mature this curriculum. All right. Okay. Let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Almost. If you guys can just take one for, if a couple of you can just take one, I think I got 25 copies here.
How many more do you need?
It's probably like 4 or 5, but it's, you know, it's really big. Let's see how many we end up with, and then I'll we can make a copy if you. Yeah, I was trying to save paper. Kill less trees.
How many copies do you think we need at our
house? We have quite a few remaining.
Okay, so those of you who want another one, please take it so we don't waste them. It's fine. Anybody else want a second one? Over here? Y'all good? Okay. Okay, again, those of you who, if you want an electronic version of this, it's going to be in Word format. I can save it as a PDF as well if that's helpful. So just come up after class and let me know, and we'll get your email address and we'll get it out to you here today or tomorrow. Okay, other questions? All right, good. All right, let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for all that you've provided and just for the joy of being entrusted with the things that you've given us. May we be found as faithful stewards in our time, talents, and money. And Lord, as we go through this study, may each of us be challenged in a greater way to bring you honor and glory, that we might be found as faithful stewards. And we just thank you for all that you've provided in Christ's name. Amen. All right.